peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It'll be 7 years ago come this March that we moved into our new house. It's nothing fancy, just a three-bedroom ranch, built mostly in the state of Wisconsin by the John Wicks Company. It's out in the middle of a cow pasture, no carpet, wood heat, but we're comfortable. We like it there. Probably a couple acres, maybe 3 acres by now that we mow, and that's the problem. That's the problem. The grass. The problem is the grass. That summer, when we first moved into the house, we planted grass, and you may not have had a drought here, but that was our drought year over there, kind of like your drought here this summer. So when we planted our grass, it didn't grow very well. We had to do a lot of sprinkling. And even then, it was patchy for a year or two. There's only so much you can sprinkle, you know. The hose only goes about so far. And now most of the yard has come in, and it looks really good. Looks really good, front, back, all around. Well, except for the spot. Except for the spot. It's always been there, that spot. It's just one spot, but it's right in the middle of the front yard. I noticed it that first year. Green grass all around it, and then in the middle of the front yard, the spot. And I told myself that it was just the drought, but there was something about that spot. Deep down, I knew that it was more than just the dry summer. Denial is more than a river in Egypt. By year two, there was no getting around it. That was a spot, all right. No doubt about it. It was a spot. But I mean, other than that, life is pretty good. I and my family have a lot to be thankful for. And this is the appointed time for Americans to be thankful. Actually, tomorrow's the appointed time. So thankful we are. I like my work. Sarah likes her work, her co-workers. Oldest daughter just got her MBA, has a nice career going. Son owns his own business. And our youngest daughter graduated from college and has participated in the recession. She's back home and she's going to be all right too. They're all good. Granddaughter, she's 6 years old, first grade, a delightful young lady. Most importantly, they are all still Lutherans and still in the church. Some of them are more in the church than others. They're in good health, financially stable. We have a lot to be thankful for. Have a lot to be thankful for. And you probably do too. You know, it's not even that big. It's just like, you know, maybe 6 inches. Maybe 6 inches. It's in a circle. Every time I go out in the yard, I have to look at it. I can't even stand on the porch anymore without that spot staring back at me. It's better right after I cut the grass because then it's not as noticeable. But even then, the thing torments me. I used to be able to stand there and get that feeling that you get. That feeling like no other feeling, that smell of the fresh cut grass and the grass all the same length, it's great. You can smell it, you can almost taste it. But the spot has taken that joy away from me. And now when I gaze out of my front yard, I can almost smell the spot. So we lived in southeast Kansas for 9 years, Pittsburgh. Down there, they joke about how they never quite made it out of the Depression. And for a fact, when General Motors opened a hub factory in our town, people drove 50 miles to work in a factory where they made molten aluminum wheels. It must have gotten kind of hot there in the summer in southeast Kansas for $7 an hour, and they were glad to have those jobs. A few years ago, one of my son's boyhood friends moved up here. And I asked him how he likes it up here, and he said, he likes it here. He says, you have one of those, what do you call it? I said, an economy? Yeah, that's it, an economy. Now, I don't know what the French physiocrats had in mind when they declared that all wealth comes from the land, but that sure fits around here, doesn't it? Take some black dirt, a few rivers, 150 years, Lots of farm implements and bumper crops later, and this is a pretty good place to be, isn't it? When I was reading the Old Testament, reading about the promised land that God was going to give to the Israelites, it sounded a lot like America. Sometimes, when I'm watching the TiVo, well, the TiVo died, so when I'm watching the DVR, I'll have to rewind because my mind has wandered once again to that most important of all questions. How did it get there? I don't know how it got there. Sometimes I'll lay awake at night thinking, was it something the dog ate? Or did one of the neighbor kids come over and pour something on it? Or what? I have done some research and recently confirmed that around the turn of the century, that's the 19th century, 1900, the town of Swedona, a couple miles away from us now, back when the Swedes were digging coal out of the ground, that the city used to come close to our property. And there might have been people living there 100 years ago. And I can't help but wonder if some clumsy Swede spilled something, some kind of acid or chemical or something way back, and I'm paying the price for it now. So we had the stock market crash, didn't we? And a lot of people are still feeling that it's gotten better. Gas prices have gone down a little bit, but they're still kind of high. Remember all the bankers who lost their jobs, like 100,000 Wall Street brokers and a lot of other people lost their jobs, are still looking for work. Food stamps at a high, unemployment just keeps hanging out there, and that's bad. And pretty much any economic news we hear, if the gas prices go down, that's bad. If the gas prices go up, that's bad. Just listen to the news. And so where does that leave us as a nation? Well, it leaves us as the most prosperous, the most wealthy, the most healthy, or at least with the best medical care, the highest standard of living ever, still, and second place isn't even close. Security, great medical treatment, more freedoms, with an abundance and plethora of natural resources. You know, when people come here from just about every other country, they go into Walmart. You gotta take them to the small town Walmart. You can't take them to the supercenter, they'll get overstimulated. And they say things like, wow, this must be where the rich people shop. And I say, well, no, actually everybody except the rich people shop at Walmart. No, we're not starving. Our problem is not that we don't have enough food, our problem is that we have too much food. People come over to the house and they see it. Sarah's relatives are coming over tomorrow. They're gonna see it. They won't say anything, but I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, why doesn't that guy do something about that spot? Believe me, I've tried. When my parents come over, they always come in through the garage so they don't have to look at that spot. My wife tells me that they come in through the garage because the steps are easier than the front porch, and we put that little handle there for them to grab onto. And I appreciate her trying to help, but who are we fooling? They're in their early 80s. What's a few steps? And she got that knee replaced. The spot mocks me. And I know inwardly that every visitor to my house is mocking me because of the spot. It's almost ruined my life, that spot. Oh, and then there's church. Then there's church. I got my start spiritually speaking at Zion Lutheran in Taylor Ridge, out in the cornfields across the river, baptized by Pastor Stubbe. My parents raised us in the church, and they believed it themselves, and they lived it. At the age of 10, we transferred to the new church in Milan, St. Matthew, where Pastor Scope preached the gospel every Sunday. I went to college at Concordia, Chicago, and my teachers gave me a deeper understanding of this gift, and my seminary professors in 4 short years turned me into a theologian and pastor. And over the years, friends, family, and especially my wife have been very good for me. For those churches, for those people, for those schools. I am deeply thankful. And above all, of course, I'm thankful for what those people have brought to me, the Word of God in its truth and purity, and the sacraments, the things through which God nourishes our Christian faith. And I'm guessing that you too probably have some things to be thankful for. Probably if you didn't, you wouldn't be here tonight. Things in your life, things in your spiritual life, appreciation for your church. So, what's your spot? What's your spot? A co-worker who's kind of different? If by kind of different you mean a little bit nuts? Maybe a friend who has been untrustworthy? If by untrustworthy you mean that they stabbed me in the back and twisted the knife? A teacher that doesn't like you? Drivers who drive too fast or too slow? The Democrat president? The Republican governor? Labor unions, management, Rush Limbaugh, Al Franken? Or that you worry about, fill in the blank? Yeah, what's your spot? And where's my spot going to be in 100 years? Well, if it was made by some clumsy Swede 100 years ago, it might still be there in 100 years, but I'm thinking it probably won't matter to me anyway. And your spot? Where's your spot going to be in 100 years? It's going to be like a single drop of water in the ocean of eternity. And where are you going to be in 100 years? And that's kind of the important thing, isn't it? And that's something for which to be very thankful. Amen. Peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.